Brist loses the ball, goes and gets it, gives it to Mooring. Mooring steps inside, little floater, no good. Rebound to Justin. Justin goes up strong and lays it in.
Yeah.
Nice offensive board by Shakur.
All right. It is Sunday morning. Welcome to Out of Line. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 9. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, we're the flagship station and proud of it, man. How cool is that? I'm Brian. To my right on your radio dial is Missy Lynn, sporting the Yankees hat today.
Good morning.
And behind the big board, the wheels of steel, it is Chris Magnum Chapman. You hear him all over Vegas Golden Knights radio. Matter of fact, he's all over radio all the time. Got to sit here behind the big board for the UNLV game last night. And being an alumni, he's got to be at least a little bit proud, right, Mags?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the team keeps winning, and, you know, they beat that other school, the Community College of Northern Nevada, the other night at Reno. So
didn't we decide, Mags, like a couple years ago, it was going to be called the school up north? We're just going to refer to that's the nice way to refer to it.
Well,
the north.
To be quite honest, it's nothing more than a trade school. You know, it's like Votech. You know, it's like a vocational school. You know, it's like the school that all the burnouts go to. You know, to go do like you know, metal shop for 4 years. Because, you know, let's be honest. The real school in the state of Nevada is right here in Las Vegas, and that's UNLV. That other school?
Of course.
We let them ride our coattails, you know.
Redheaded stepchildren.
Well,
of,
you know what it is? It's
Nevada.
Like they have this Napoleonic complex, you know, that we're Nevada. You know, like they plaster the state of Nevada all over their jerseys and all over their uniforms and in football on their helmets. Guess what? You're not Nevada. Nobody outside of Nevada cares about Reno.
They're almost California.
They're like Montana. You know. Don't insult California by placing Reno in with California.
Yeah, what is there to do in Reno besides snowboard and get high?
Bowl.
I mean, really,
you can bowl.
You can bowl. Well, and you can smoke a bowl. That's what they
do
up there,
both,
right?
You know, and look, Reno is such a joke that Comedy Central sent a couple of guys up to that dump to have a police show about how goofy that city is.
Hey, I you know, we're going to end this conversation about Reno. We're going to talk more in a second, but they do possess the Fremont Cannon, Megs. They do for the last 2 years.
But you know what? They don't have any national championship banners hanging in their gym.
Nor will they.
When you put first round CBI up in the rafters, that tells you all you need to know about what a garbage and joke you are.
Am I going out on a limb to say that I'll bet in our lifetime Reno never hoists a championship banner in any sport?
Well, I think
that's crazy to say.
No.
It's going to happen eventually, but maybe
banner.
Not in our lifetime.
I am talking about a national championship banner in any sport.
I won't say that. Major
sport. Major.
Okay. They'll never win a baseball championship.
Okay,
they'll never win a football championship.
Basketball.
Let's be real. UNLV will never win a football championship either because the system is
I'm
rigged.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
You know, Reno, whatever you want to call them, Community College of Northern Nevada, they may put another CBI banner up there.
They're
they
not,
may put a CIT banner up.
I am talking about
up.
A national championship banner in one of the four majors. They will not.
No.
All right, listen up. We're going to...
They do have a nice bowling alley up there, though. Silver Legacy, I think it is.
I actually like bowling. I have my own bowling
ball.
Listen,
the Twitter handle is at Out of Line 1340, and the Facebook page, check it out. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there is no show. So pick up the phone, man, 876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. In studio today with me, as we mentioned, Missy Lynn, Magnum. We've got some guests coming up in a little bit. My good buddy and sometime colleague Bernie Fratto be here to talk some UNLV basketball, maybe a little bit Michigan State basketball. Big win for them over Purdue. And, you know, with all the stuff going on in Michigan State, might be a decent thing to talk about
as well. They might be number one in the country.
I don't think they will.
Villanova
next.
Lost, Virginia lost, and
so did Purdue. So obviously, because they beat them, yeah. Right? But they could be. I think definitely right now, if the season ended,
I'll tell you who won't
right
be number one unless it's a scam. Duke.
Yeah, Duke's not number one. Hey, we'll talk all about that. We also got coming up in a little while, I talked to Brandon McCoy and Shakur Houston after the win over Wyoming last night. Interesting interviews, and looking forward for you guys to listen to that again. Also, on Thursday, the Vegas Golden Knights record on the road turned out to be on their six-game road trip, 4-2. And this team just keeps on winning. Today's the start of a seven-game homestand, and KSHP's radio's Brian Blessing will be joining us for our nightcap. Missy Lynn is gearing up for her 18th opening day at Yankee Stadium.
17, but that'll be next year.
I thought it was 18.
17th.
So this, okay.
This is my 17th.
I kept hearing 17. I thought, okay, you've been 17. Okay, well, this will be your 17th next year.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that because she's been all of them. So you definitely want to hear today's fact this. And Super Bowl 52 is behind us. It was everything we could have hoped it would be. It was entertaining. Lots of scoring. It broke all-time records, and the outcome surprised most of us that are honest. Hey, we'll talk about that. And our 2018 NFL Picks champion, and who's buying him lunch. We'll talk about that as well. Stick around. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University. At 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. We got highlight bags? No? Okay, we don't have highlight. Well, listen, Bernie's on the phone, right? You got Bernie?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Bernie Fratto's joining us right now. Bernie, last night, that game, you know, I'll say it was what a lot of people expected it to be. I thought it would be a little closer. UNLV withstood a run in the second half that gave Wyoming a brief lead, and then UNLV took the lead back, never gave it up again. I thought they showed resiliency. I thought the front court of Shakur Houston and Brandon McCoy, especially the last four games, has really been clicking. And they beat Reno, granted, without their best player, but still a big quality win, and they've got 18 now. Bernie, I said they'd get 19 all year, and they're one away from that.
Is that a question? Or?
Well, no, I'm just...
That's a pretty good commentary. I think you nailed every key point.
Well, no, I'm just I'm saying, Bernie, we talked about it. We kind of went back and forth, looked at their schedule not long ago, and we agreed 19 wins seemed feasible. 19 wins, I believe, they'll get Wednesday night, but I'll tell you what, after that game... They've got a tough road to haul. If they can get through every one of these games, I think they'll be really primed and ready for the Mountain West tournament.
Well, I think I'll give you credit. You did say quite a while back you thought they would win 19 games, and then you even revised it to 21, and I think you're going to be right. As far as last night's game, you know, the Rebels came out with a ton of energy. They led 9-0, 19-2, and 24-5. Wyoming couldn't make a shot, but you have to give the Rebels credit because they were just too athletic and too fast for the Cowboys. I have a theory, the Cowboys were affected by the altitude. They used to playing at 7,500 feet. It's too low down here, so I don't know what the problem was. The other thing, too, is rumor has it they kept Hayden Dalton in a sensory deprivation tank for 24 hours because after watching what happened to Prentice Nixon, Trey Kell, and Caleb Martin before the Nevada, Colorado State, and San Diego State games, they got hurt. Rebels take advantage. It didn't matter. But you're right. When Wyoming came back and actually took the lead 50-49, I thought anything could happen. But what happened was a 14-3 run by the Rebels, and they stepped on their neck. And once again, the law firm of Houston and McCoy, 41 points and 25 rebounds. A pound for pound, in my 7 years of being affiliated with this program between Rebel Extra and Rebel Minute, pound for pound, this team has the most talent because they produce.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's funny you mentioned Hayden Dalton. How long has he been at Wyoming, Bernie? It seems like as long as I've been going to Rebel games, he's been playing for Wyoming. Like what, like 2003?
Well, my understanding, he's only been there for two terms, Bush and Obama's.
You know, Bernie, I don't think, like I said, anyone's shocked at Wyoming. I said it was going to be a three-point game. I thought they'd have maybe a little bit of a letdown after that big emotional win in Reno. And my God in heaven, hero ball really played a big part in that 31 points for Mooring up there. Not as well down here. But again, Bernie, a few little mistakes. Talked to Menzies in the press conference after the game about it. But like Mooring again, a couple of times in the first half, I didn't see it in the second half, but running right down and chucking up a three when they had a decent lead. And those kind of things helped Reno get back in the game. Wyoming get back in the game.
No doubt. And there were a lot of turnovers, especially toward the end of the first half. I'm sure the Rebels got an earful. A 19-point lead turned into a 10-point lead. And then eventually Wyoming even took the lead, even though it was for only 18 seconds. Look, this is who JoJo is. He can shoot you into it, like T.C. Martin says. He can shoot you into a game, he'll shoot you out of a game. When he's hot and banging his threes, the rest of his game falls in line. He's a wild man on defense. He'll come up with steals. He dives for every 50-50 ball. But we know he has those droughts and he does those crazy things. The difference, though, is this team has a tremendous supporting cast. I mean, Chuck Ndombele, is he still on the team? He was excellent last year. He can't get on the floor because Mbaki Jung is such a terrific freshman. Tre'Vell Beck is such a terrific freshman. Amori Hardy is such a terrific freshman. Jordan Johnson is playing like the fifth-year senior point guard that they brought him in to be. And then we talked about Justin and McCoy. This is a team that literally goes 8, 9, 10 deep, and they all seem to understand their roles. And here's the kicker. What we have seen before our very eyes in the last 10 days is the talent starting to gel. And what you are seeing is the whole better than the sum of its parts. If they can continue this, by the way, let's not bury the lead. They're in third place in the Mountain West Conference. And if they get another crack at Reno, another crack at San Diego State, they get a shot at Fresno State, they get to go to Utah State and make up for that debacle. So this is going to get fun to watch.
Bernie, how much of a difference, and I just talked with Magnum about this, you might have heard it before you came on, how much of a difference would it have made had Caleb Martin been playing for Reno? If Trey Kell doesn't get hurt in the first 3 minutes of the San Diego State game, do we see a difference? I mean, obviously these are the better players, if not the best players on either team. Do we see a different game?
Brian, that's an excellent, excellent question, because it's fair. The San Diego State without Trey Kell is still a win. There's no asterisk. We'll never know what would have happened had he been in that game. We'll never know what would have happened if Prentice Nixon hadn't played, gotten hurt before the Colorado State game. As a matter of fact, Colorado State led that whole game. And then, of course, Caleb Martin, on his way to being the player of the conference, mm-hmm. player of the year in the Mountain West Conference, averaging 18 points a game. When he is not on the floor, you can defend Reno a lot differently than when he is on the floor. They are much easier to defend. This is not a deep team. They'd won 18 games in a row with him there on the floor. So the bottom line is, we will never know. But here's where I, still have to tip my cap to the Rebels. There's an old saying, part of life is being at the right place at the right time. But I add something to that. You got to do something about it. You got to take advantage of it. So even though those other teams, those opponents were missing key players, the Rebels still managed to take advantage of it. And that's where I think you have to give them credit.
What do you expect going forward, Bernie? Are we seeing now a team that is growing up before our eyes and can make a run at the Mountain West crown? I don't think they'll catch Boise for the regular season crown, but from what I've seen, they seem like they're able to play with anybody. As you mentioned, this is as much talent as I've seen on any UNLV team since I've been watching them and been out here. And I love the growth of all of them. I keep getting into different arguments with different people about Shakur Justin, and I said if he can develop a mid-range jumper, he's got maybe a shot in the NBA. But you got to realize it's 6'7", he's a tweener, and there's so many of those guys, you don't know what that intangible is going to be that's going to put them at the next level. But going forward again, Bernie, back to the original question, what do you think, what should I say, are you expecting?
Well, there's 6 games left. I expect the Rebels to win at least 4 of the 6. They've got Air Force at home. They've got Fresno at home. They still got to go to San Diego State. They've got Reno at home. Still got to go to Utah State. Because of their athleticism, which is evident, and because of the intensity with which you're now playing, which is evident, I now expect them to finish probably 11-7 in conference. And I think they are absolutely live to get to the finals. We don't know where the bracket's going to shape out. But I expect them. I expect them to get to the finals of the tournament on their own floor, and here's why. San Diego State clearly doesn't have the roster composition to compete. Fresno State, I don't think they're as they have evolved as much as I thought they would have. Caleb Martin, I don't think is coming back this year. I'm very familiar with this Lisfranc foot injury he's gotten. And I remember when I, back in 2004, I was covering the Lions, Kevin Jones, a fullback out of Lisfranc. He was out a year. It's a weight-bearing injury. He's not coming back in 3 or 4 weeks. He's just not. And the tournament's right around the corner. It starts, I think, March 11th. Yeah. And this is already February, 13th. So without him and in the Rebels gym, I think UNLV can catch them again. That leaves Boise State. So I expect the Rebels to win one or two games in the Mountain West Conference Tournament and at least get to the finals, because it's right here in Las Vegas. They're starting to peak at the right time, and they're confident now. They are a confident team.
I agree with that 100%. I think Boise State is going to be a problem. Chandler Hutchinson seems to be a guy that's kind of unguardable for UNLV, but they do have athleticism, and they are playing better defense. Bernie, last question for you. One of the things, and probably since this change was made, we have seen UNLV performing differently. Marvin Menzies downplayed it last night in the press conference, actually even saying Tervell Beck hasn't played great. I think the transition of putting Nunu in, and that, of course, the two players, Justin and McCoy, made it a point to keep calling him Nunu, so I'll call him that as well, I guess, for because they want to be called that. But the bottom line is, they made this change. They moved him into the starting lineup, put Clyborne coming off the bench, and it really has seemed to make a difference.
I agree. It has made a difference. Clyburn, I don't know what happened to him. It happened last year, too. He started out like a house of fire, and then he sort of fades, and his shots don't drop, and he was turnover-prone, and I like him. He's a good energy player. Tervell Beck brings a different type of low-post presence that is always welcome. The Rebels rebound the ball better when he's on the floor. So I think that change has helped, but I think, moreover, what has happened is this team's playing with a lot more intensity and a lot more angry, and I think it's showing up.
Okay, fair enough. I enjoy it, and I couldn't get Bernie to call him Nunu. I tried. I knew he wouldn't do it.
Let me ask
but
you a question.
I tried.
Let me ask you a question. Funny. What is the origin of that nickname? I don't know.
I haven't asked yet, Bernie, but I'm going to have to, because, like I said, when someone asked Shakur Justin and Brandon McCoy last night in the press conference about three different questions about Tervell Beck, they insisted on calling him Nunu and even mentioned to the press that his nickname is Nunu, and that's what we call him. So
John Sandler calls him that throughout the broadcast.
I'm not calling him that anymore then. So,
fair enough. I just got one thing to say before I let you guys run. Magnum, bowlers are the best athletes, and I'll tell you why. Because they're the only athlete that can smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, and eat a hot dog while they perform in their sport, and they actually do it better.
I think John Daly, the golfer, would probably disagree with that, considering he probably did a lot of the same stuff. I mean, and was it Darren Clark who used to smoke cigars out on the golf course?
Yeah, a while ago. Bernie, I can't let you go, though. I got one more thing for you. I wanted to just quickly mention Michigan State. I'm sure you saw the game last night or heard about it. It was really
Purdue.
Yeah, they honored Judd Heathcote at halftime, which was really cool. Gene Cady, the old Purdue coach, was there. But what a character-building game for Michigan State. It's the third. They're 3-1 now against AP top 10 teams. And with all the stuff going on at Michigan State, I saw at the end of the game Tom Izzo just almost break down and start crying, the emotions of that win. And great game, again, by Miles Bridges, man. What a huge three he hit at the end of this game. How good is this Michigan State team, man?
Well, they're like most other Izzo Michigan State teams. They're going to be a factor in March. You could probably pencil them in for the Sweet 16, and depending on matchups, they could go all the way. The reason you saw Coach Izzo so emotional is because when Judd Heathcote retired in 1995, he tapped Tom Izzo on the shoulder, who began his career at Michigan State as a student, grad assistant. So Judd has really been, absolutely a mentor of Tom's, and as a mentor to the Gonzaga program. This is a man with a great deal of wisdom, and he's funny too, and he has a funny laugh. So, look, all you saw there was, history coming full circle with respect to Izzo paying homage to the guy who really gave him the opportunity in the first place 23 years ago, and he's made the most of it.
Sure has, and you know, like I said before, I love the guy there. I think you're going to be correct as far as when it all shakes out. Izzo and D'Antonio will still be there. I'm really happy about it. I love the guy. I just don't love what's gone on at Michigan State recently. He is Bernie Fratto. You can check out. He has a what do they call the little the segment that you're doing on UNLV that you're going to be recording tomorrow?
It's the Rebel Minute. It's a 90-second segment. It's just called the Rebel Minute. It's 90 seconds and gives a synopsis after every game, kind of a look ahead, a review, and sort of a global overview of the program. And Mark Seidel airs it on ESPN 1100, your sister station, there several times a day. And you can also go to LV Sports Network, and it's tweeted out. My mom likes it, so I at least I got that.
It's a great segment, and you get some great insight. Bernie will give you as good an insight as you're going to hear on UNLV basketball.
I have a question for you guys and for Magnum. From which university is a degree more valuable, Nevada, Reno, or Bubby's University? And as they say in the business, I'll hang up and listen. Goodbye. Have a good show.
Well, it's clearly Bubby's. Because, I mean, listen, the degree from UNR or Community College of Northern Nevada, it's not even worth the paper it's printed on. So, I mean, if you go to the real school, and what makes me laugh is these kids from Vegas who want to get out of Vegas, so they think they're getting a college experience going to the Community College of Northern Nevada. You know, look, kids, if you're from Vegas and you don't want to go to UNLV, don't go to UNR. That's not a real college. Get out of the state. Go to Arizona State. Go to Utah. Go to USC. Go to UCLA. UC Irvine. UC Santa Barbara. Hell, even go to San Diego State. But don't go to that school up north. Nobody cares about that school. And then you'll get the kids in Vegas. And, you know, I know one who works here, and I like to give him a little bit of a hard time.
I know who you're talking about. Our good friend, man. I love the guy.
And you know what? He's a really good kid. I like him a lot.
Great kid.
You know what? He's a Vegas kid, and he went to that garbage school up north.
Yeah,
and
what's he doing, man? You got to
– You know, he comes down. He's got the little state of Nevada on the back of his car, and I'm like, come on, dude.
Mag,
we know Vegas runs Nevada.
Listen, you know what's funny? Mag sounds like my dad when I told him I was going to Michigan State instead of the University of Michigan. He looked at me. He goes, why are you going to that other school, man?
This is
the University
of
Michigan.
Other white meat.
And it's funny because the last couple of years I tell my dad, Michigan State is the University of Michigan.
Oh.
And then this had to happen. And, well, Mags, I mean, we really have taken over and dominated the state in football and basketball the last several years, especially basketball. And since D'Antonio's been there, they have trouble beating Michigan State now. Michigan can't do it. So I'm digging it. But
that's a weird rivalry though, because obviously in state Michigan versus Michigan State is a big deal, but
they're like 30 minutes away from each other.
Michigan,
too.
You know, they probably look at Ohio State as a bigger rival than Michigan State, despite the fact they're in the same state. You know, for Reno, they have no rivals other than UNLV. Like, this is all they have. UNLV, you know what? I like the rivalry with Hawaii. I always think I think it's great that they've now added a trophy to that football game. And look, in basketball, UNLV, San Diego State, it's still intense, you know, and the Aztecs they've made a, from the time Steve Fisher was hired at San Diego State.
It hasn't been a rivalry recently, man.
What was it,
finally,
2000 that he was hired? And they went like six, they won six games their first year, I think, with Steve Fisher. But since that time, this has been a really good, you know, rivalry between these two schools. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of dislike.
There is, but San Diego State has had their number for a while.
Yeah, credit to San Diego State. Yeah. They've made it a lot more interesting. And, you know, that school up north, nobody cares about you.
Hey, listen, on the other side, we are going to listen to the interview that I had with Brandon McCoy and Shakur Houston. It's pretty cool. I really like these guys. I know Missy does, too. We love talking to them.
Oh, they're awesome.
And it's really cool when
the spirit they had last night, too. They were just on fire.
They were.
You could tell. They were actually smiling during the interview.
You know what I like doing, too? We've been doing more is both the players that come in for UNLV, we grab them both and we interview them together. And I hadn't done that until this year, and I'm really kind of digging it. You'll hear that.
I think they're excited about it, too.
They come to us now after the games.
They're just like, all right, we're ready for the interview. Like, okay,
Facebook,
guys.
Are you doing Facebook Live? They kind of primp a little bit. It's great. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. You'll hear that interview on the other side. We've also got Nightcap coming up with Brian Blessing. He is great. As good a hockey knowledge as anybody in this town. And Missy Lynn, again, is going to tell us about trip number 17 to Yankee Stadium. All that's coming up.
Brandon, a step back, fall away off the glass, off 1 foot and in.
on Brandon McCoy, the last four games or so, we have seen so much more consistency of his play on the floor. What do you attribute that to? That, you know, the beginning of the Mountain West Conference, it seemed like he was not really in great shape. He was coming out a lot. In the last four games, it really seems like we have seen a lot more consistency.
Yeah, I don't know if it's conditioning as much as dealing with the conditions of being triple teamed and, you know, adjusting to the defenses that were that he was seeing. And I think that his responses have been really good. So I would attribute his very recent success to his responses and his growth and maturity and understanding that, you know, he's learning. He's a freshman, so he's learning too, just like Nunu and Mbake and Amari, all of them.
Line 8 to 9 every Sunday morning. I'm Brian. She's Missy. Mag's behind the big board, making everything happen here. And we're going to run real quick to our the interview. This was after the game last night. Missy and I, we get outside the press box, and we got a chance to talk to Brandon McCoy and Shakur Justin, the cogs up front that make this run and rebel engine run. And pretty cool guys. Here's the interview.
So, big win again tonight, guys. I mean, it seems to just be carrying over San Diego State, San Jose State, and then the huge game up in Reno. You guys just seem to turn a corner.
Just giving it to Shakur. He's really the person really doing all the big stuff. You know, he had a big game in Reno and as well as today. And so, you know, I'm just building off of his effort. And, you know, he's helped me become a better player just, you know, seeing him play so hard.
You know, the win at Reno, the loss at Boise, it just turned our heads to, like, you know what, we can be anybody on any given night. So with that confidence that we bring from those games to these games, looking forward, I mean, we're just going to be victorious.
Yeah, you know, it spilled over tonight. You guys started out like a house on fire in there, and then they had that 13-2 run to close the. What do you go in the locker room, Brandon, and say when something like that happens to stay up for the second half?
Well, Coach Benzie told us in one of our timeouts that we had a big run to get ready for their big run, and we just got to, you know, be able to bounce back from their run. And I feel like we did a really good job of that. We saw what we were doing wrong, and we buckled down and started to do what we were supposed to do.
Shakur, second half, they came out. We just talked about it in the press room. They came out. They ended up punching a nose in front for a second, gave up that double-digit lead. What do you guys say when you get in the, you know, you get in the huddle, the confidence? You came right out, and then you took the lead back and never looked back. So what do you guys say when that happens?
Just next possession, you know, just – We can't control a lot of things. We control effort, rebounding, but them making runs and making threes, you know, that's just basketball. I mean, they're great players, Division I players, so it's going to happen. But as long as we stay together and stay connected, then we can do it just like we did tonight.
Show some resiliency. You stay in there, you end up still winning the game. How much does that help you guys out to know, hey, we can withstand these runs and still come back and win this game?
We just know that we got a lot to work on. We gave up a lot of easy buckets, and they got a lot of offensive rebounds. But, you know, this is just building blocks of what we need to do. We're just going to build off of this and go back to the lab and just get better.
Two more things. I know this guy doesn't want to talk about the free throws tonight, but, you know, seriously, man, you play well all the time. But you missed a free throw tonight, and you went down and did some push-ups again. That was self-induced. You just decided to do that on your own, huh?
Yeah, I had to. It's only right. I mean, even in, like workouts, you know, you miss too many, it's only right as you do push-ups. It's just like a mental, it's a mental thing. So for me to airball a free throw in a game, I just had to do it right on time.
What happened?
I don't know. It felt good, but it felt too good, and I was just like, wait, it was feeling way too good, and then I just seen it drop. I was like, oh yeah, there we go.
What about you, Brandon? I talked to you at the beginning of the season, and you were struggling just a little bit with free throws early on. And you're like, man, it's just a thing. I'll be in the gym. That's just a couple of games, and boy, are you proving that, man. Seems like you're finding the bottom end of the twine with the free throws quite often now.
Just me and Shakur some gym reps, and, you know, just staying in the gym, just keep working on my craft, and just, you know, I know it's important for me to get them free points, so let me try to knock them down.
Finally, Coach Menzies now. We're getting close to the end of this season. You guys have now got yourself right back into the mix for the Mountain West Conference. What is he saying to keep you guys focused? What is your biggest emphasis in practice?
his big emphasis is buying in on what the coaches say. They got a lot of experience under their belt, and, you know, we just got to buy in and listen to him. In the beginning of the season, we was having a little bit of trouble with that, but I feel like our guys are really starting to trust the process and trust our coaches.
The brotherhood you guys have talked about a lot, this team, and the camaraderie and the ways you guys get along. For a while there, I don't think it wasn't you guys just getting along, maybe just off on the court, but right now it seems like everything is clicking.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it takes time. When you put a new group of kids together or young men together, you know, they bump heads, things happen, you know, trust this, that, and third. But when you click and when you get it, then the sky's the limit.
Appreciate you guys. I'm not going to ask you for an overall prediction because I don't want to do that, but the sky's the limit, as we said, for this team. What do you guys expect of yourselves going forward the rest of the way?
I just expect myself to play as hard as I can for my teammates. That's what they deserve, and just going out there and competing as hard as I can. We can't predict the future. We just got to go play hard and just let God take care of it.
Shakur Justin and Brandon McCoy after the game last night. Really like those guys. We'll get out to the phone lines, and then we'll hit fact this right after this. Let's get out to Sean. What's up, Sean? Oh, Sean's gone. It was a long wait, Mags. Go ahead. We'll hit fact this. Get Brian Blessing to come.
If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Okay, fact this. It is a fact, as I mentioned earlier, that Missy Lynn has attended 16 Yankee home openers. And come this April, you will be attending your 17th home opener. It's an obsession.
You could say that. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
What an obsession is when somebody gets a tattoo of the Yankees and their favorite player on their arm for lifetime.
You're a little bit sick. I got to say, you know, they do say in baseball, all right, the greatest day is opening day at all stadiums.
By far.
And then, of course, I love the All-Star break, and then, of course, the postseason. But in baseball, opening day, it is
even
a tradition.
Spring training, but yeah.
It is a tradition. I've probably seen, honestly, I think I've seen like 6 or 7 in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But 16, 17, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, you find a way there. She'll be in Italy and find a way to Yankee Stadium on opening day, right? Am I right?
Well, yeah, you're have to. Like I mean, that's what fans really do.
Magnum, who's your favorite right now? All time athlete, any athlete right now that you could meet? Tell me who it is, just off the top of your head.
Wow, I mean,
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean,
just throw one out there. Not the guys you know with the Knights.
I would say probably Joe Namath.
Okay, nice. Joe Namath. Right now, if you saw Joe Namath and he came up and he autographed your arm, would you run to a tattoo shop and get it tattooed in?
No.
This one did.
I know.
Don Mattingly.
Yep.
Don Mattingly is tattooed into her wrist, brother.
Well, you know what's funny? I'm not a Yankees fan. In fact, I'm certified Yankee hater. But I was at.
I loved you too.
Did you show him the tattoo while he was?
I've seen it.
No, but I'm talking to the Facebook Live fans.
The last regular season home game for Don Mattingly, they played, of all teams, they played the Detroit Tigers. And Mattingly's last at bat, I was there. Wow. Went with my friend Gerard Andrew. And his last at bat, he came up and he hit a shot to center field. We thought it was going to go out, but it ended up being a double. And that was his last at bat at Yankee Stadium. Now, they made the playoffs that year, but they lost in the first round. That was the last year that the Yankees were not really good for that stretch. You know, they had Jeter and those guys, but they were still, it was before they became the dynasty. And it was pretty cool. You know, looking back, it's like, you know what, Don Mattingly was probably, I don't even think there's a probably about this. I would say Don Mattingly is the greatest Yankee to never win a World Series. I mean, I don't even know if that's up to debate.
No, that is 100%. But he is not the greatest Yankee first baseman ever, is he, Mags?
Well, they've had quite a few pretty good first basemen.
Oh, they are your horse, brother. Come on. Yeah. There's nobody that's ever going to touch that guy, especially in the era that he played in, Mags. You know, I still say what Cal Ripken did is absolutely amazing.
Well, he played shortstop.
But no.
You're talking about Lou Gehrig.
I'm talking about the Iron Horse, the longest game consecutive game streak that Cal Ripken broke, which was Lou Gehrig's streak.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying is, and as amazing it is what Cal Ripken did, Lou Gehrig did this, Chris, when people were using wooden-soled shoes.
Yeah.
There was the aspirin that they had then was nothing like what Cal Ripken was able to take to get over his broken bones. What Lou Gehrig did, in my opinion, is one of the most amazing feats in the history of sport.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. Looking back, I mean, the 1920s, guys didn't live longer. Unfortunately, Lou contracted Lou Gehrig's disease. Don't know how he didn't see that one coming. I stole that. I stole that from Dennis Leary.
That sounds, like something Bernie would say.
I've waited 17 years on the 12 years on the radio to use a joke like that, and no, I stole that from Dennis Leary. No cure for cancer, by the way. But yeah, I mean, Lou Gehrig, pretty amazing. And you know what's funny? I think Wally Pipp actually came. Did he come from the Tigers? Is that where the Yankees got him from?
Wally Pipp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Wally Pipp after Lou Gehrig. I don't think he was still around when Lou Gehrig.
Then, I mean, the game was completely different.
But just
look at. I think the only thing that's still the same is the way the pitchers really have their.
It's just the thing is like I said, and we'll go to break here in a second. But what makes Lou Gehrig's amazing is, again, it's the equipment, the medicine that you would take to keep yourself on the field. It just wasn't available. The equipment was lousy back then. Look at the gloves that they wore. They shared gloves, for God's sake. You left your glove in left field for the other team's player to use it. It was a whole different era. And what Lou Gehrig did playing in those consecutive games in the 20s and into the 30s is, to me, the most miraculous thing I've ever seen done. I mean, I think what Brett Favre did in the NFL is pretty amazing, too. But he had some pretty good painkillers to help get him through it. Lou Gehrig did it without anything, man. It's pretty.
Well, he's probably drinking now, too.
Lou Gehrig was not a drinker. Lou Gehrig was.
Well, no, they still, I mean.
Yeah, Lou Gehrig, I'm just telling you, Lou Gehrig was, I mean, his mom was like in every
game.
Not like
Babe Ruth, even so, there was different rules back then.
There was, but it's still an incredible feat. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side. We've got definitely want to hear Nightcap. Brian Blessing is going to join us to talk about the best story, as you said in our promo, on the planet. Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Dives it out of the zone. James Neal gets to it, works in, drops it off. Perron back to Neal on the left. He shoots. He scores! The Golden Knights take the lead back, 4-3, with 4:50 to play in the third period. What a setup, Perron and Neal.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, well, it started and stopped again on a Thursday night. These guys are just amazing. Another comeback victory over the second best team in their division, the San Jose Sharks. And San Jose punched a nose in front. The Golden Knights said no again in the third period, scored three unanswered goals, and walk away with another victory, or I should say skate away with another victory. I have run out of adjectives for this team. They are just simply incredible. Let's stop calling them the best expansion team ever, even though they are, and let's just start calling them what they are, which is a damn good hockey team. One guy that does that regularly over on KSHP 1400. If you haven't heard this guy in Vegas, well, you can't say you're really a hockey fan, because I would say Brian Blessing, my friend, knows as much about hockey as anybody I know, and I'm from Hockey Town. Brian, what's up, brother?
I'm just sitting here thinking of Missy being a rose between two thorns on a Sunday morning.
That's awfully sweet.
So sweet.
He's talking about
You poor thing. I'll tell you, the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is if this team makes a run in the playoffs. I mean, it'd be the excitement of the town, but it would be, I just want to see, like, if they made it to the semifinals, by that time it'd be about 95 degrees around here. And I want to see if they keep letting Magnum in T-Mobile Arena wearing Tom Selleck, you know, Hawaiian luau shirt.
And don't forget the bucket hat. You can't forget the bucket hat.
Yeah, but it covers the majority of his head. So.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you what. This is, you know, we've gone on and on. Everybody's talked about how exciting of a story this is. You know, the number one team at this point in the Western Conference, number two in the National Hockey League, behind a team they've beaten twice now, the Tampa Bay Lightning. You just can't go on and on. And, Brian, we touched on it briefly, just kind of talking the other day over at KSHP. And this has George McPhee stamped all over this team, a team of guys that you have blended together that have just worked out incredibly well. And again, for those of you that don't know, George McPhee is a protege of Herbie Brooks, who the Miracle on Ice people. I mean, this guy orchestrated the greatest assembly of collegiate players in history in 1980, and in Lake Placid, the USA team, of course. Well, they won. They beat the Russians in the semifinal. Then they went on to beat Sweden in the gold medal game. It was incredible. And I'm watching this Golden Knights team, and it kind of reminds me that guys I would have never thought could gel this way are doing it.
I'm calling you out, but it was one of the coolest things ever. I was actually at a college basketball game. It was Kings versus Scranton, and it was 3,000 people, and they stopped the basketball game when the U.S. beat Russia, and everybody started singing, God Bless America, and it was amazing. It was actually Finland they beat.
Finland in the gold medal game, yeah.
Yeah, and, I'm still bitter, Bri, that the NHL, I mean, for the Golden Knights, it's a good thing. I'll say that. But I love the Winter Olympics, and I'm bitter that they're not involved right now as this thing's getting started.
It's a crime. We've talked about it a bunch. The best players in the world are not representing their countries. It's just that simple. And ever since they finally let professionals, even though professionals have been playing in Russia forever, but they finally let them in the United States in, it has been a lot more exciting. It has really created some rivalries, and it's just gone right now. And it really is a shame. I agree for the Golden Knights' sake.
And
it's
good,
but
this thing's going to have realistic trickle-down effects for the next collective bargaining agreement. I mean, we're just getting this thing started. You know, lockout is a dirty word, but I mean, the players are going to draw a line in the sand. And if the NHL wants to get in China so bad, how could you ignore the games in South Korea? And then you're sticking a fork in kids like McDavid wants to play for Canada. The U.S. was stacked for a decade with kids like Matthews and Eichel. And if they grew up, they wanted their moment in the sun, and it was taken from them.
Could not agree with you more, and it does. It just waters down Olympic hockey 110%. Will I still watch it? Yeah, I guess I'm slightly a hypocrite, but I can't help it. I am a guy that absolutely loves the Olympic Games. Tragedy yesterday in snowboarding. For those of you who didn't hear about that, that's a story for a little bit later on. But real quick, Bri, as I kind of mentioned, is it time to start calling the Golden Knights one of the best teams in the National Hockey League and no longer the greatest expansion team ever?
Oh, Bri, that's been months, and every team that's played them has said it. This last road trip is just a microcosm of the season. They come back 4-2 from a road trip, and frankly, they didn't play well. They didn't play well on this road trip. They get a miracle in the first game where Frolik decides, let's see, we have a 2-1 lead. There's about a minute 30 to go. Let me wire a wrist shot on my own goal. And Hall of Bank home the rebound, and they win. And then they come back, and they bounce back from a bad effort against Pittsburgh. They couldn't have played any worse in that game against Pittsburgh, and they still had a chance to win the game. That's the thing that's amazing. They are in virtually every game.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's insane. I mean, they have to make a big adjustment now, Brian. I will tell you this. It started with the Islanders game a few weeks ago. Teams are now clogging down the neutral zone. They just don't want to get involved at a breakneck pace against this team. So the key for the Golden Knights is to make the adjustment that very early on, no teams are doing this. Play the dump and chase game early. Get a lead. And once you get a lead and force them to pinch and take chances to score against you, that's when you'll light them up the other way. So watch for the early stages of games the Golden Knights do. Probably be playing more of a dump and chase game because that's what teams are doing. They're clogging the neutral zone. They're playing a 1-3-1 against them.
A smart move. And a subject that I've beaten up a lot, Brian, and I know you've been passionate about it as well, is the All-Star game. I love the format. I hated the snubs. I mean, arguably, 5 Golden Knights could have been on that team. Neil definitely deserved to be there. And, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury, even though it's an abbreviated season for him with the concussion, he was out for so long. I mean, it is amazing at 33 years old and 3 Stanley Cups under his belt. He might be playing the best hockey of his career right now. But, I mean, William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith, those are 3 guys right there that it's a shame that we didn't get to see them in the Midwinter Classic.
I honestly, kid, I don't lose 2 seconds sleep over that. I despise the All-Star game. The 3-on-3 thing's actually entertaining. I'll at least give them that. But it's such a horrible representation of what the game is. The only thing that irks me about that, everybody's got to be represented. So that's, going in. And Neil and Fleury were deserving, but the reality of it was the 2 guys that should have gone were Marchessault and Karlsson.
Yep.
And I could care less about it, but the only thing I would say is that those guys got pitchforks, because I could almost guarantee you that in their contracts, and Marchessault's dough doesn't kick until next year, and Carlson's only making $1 million this year, I would venture a pretty solid guess that both of those guys probably had a juicy bonus in their contract for $100,000 or something if they made the All-Star yep. game. So they got scalded probably financially by not going. But other than that, good. You know, give them another chip on their shoulder, you know, and run with it.
No, I like it. I'll disagree with you on the All-Star game. I will agree with you up until they changed the format. I hated it. It was just an offensive joke, like watching the NBA All-Star game. It's a bunch of showing off. But now you're seeing them actually play defense in this four-team format. I really enjoyed. And what I love about the three-on-three, Brian, is watching guys like Connor McDavid in open ice. You don't get to see that all the time. And you see why a guy like Connor McDavid is so incredibly special in a situation like that. Brian,
real quick, Brian, I would say to you that, and I don't argue that, some of the most exciting stuff we see all year long is three-on-three. All right? So, and then the most anticlimactic thing, the one thing that they should take and put on a barge and blow it up about 1 million miles out in the ocean is the shootout. You're going out of your mind with the three-on-three in overtime. Nobody scores, which is rare. And then all of a sudden, okay, let's just stay. Okay, well, the guy's coming in on the goal. Yeah. Lose the shootout. Go to 10 minutes of 3-on-3 and be done with it.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm posing you again. I like the shootout. I like watching a one-on-one and seeing a great save or a guy find an open spot that you just don't see or make an incredible move. I like watching great players one-on-one against a goaltender. I've always thought that was cool. Real quick.
Well, after 3-on-3, if it goes to the shootout, I put a replay of the 700 club on. But that's just me.
Brian, listen, 9 of the next 10 games are at T-Mobile Arena. And last thing I'll ask you, if they play like they've been playing at home, their lead after this homestand could be insurmountable for the rest of the Western Conference.
Well, that was a big game against San Jose. I mean, that, you know, that's a 4-point game. You open up a 12-point lead on them. They've not had the big skid, so that's the good thing. And it is literally set up for them now back at home. You know, to really seal the deal here. It would be, like you said, a collapse the way they played. How could you even envision a collapse if they wouldn't make the playoffs? But they won't let themselves think that way. They're going to go with a one-game-at-a-time mentality. And the key to this whole thing, the next 3 weeks, what McPhee's going to do is going to be one of the most interesting stories in the NHL. What is he going to do at the trade deadline? Because as great as all this is, and one of the true things that makes them so dangerous every night is rolling four lines. And he'll put the fourth line out there in a tie game with 3 minutes to go. But when you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, injuries, and it's a battle of attrition, one or two injuries could really not derail, but really be a chink in the armor for this team. So I think the problem he has is there's just not that much organizational depth. They're still building an organization. So I would look for maybe some smallish moves, maybe something on the third line. Wait for February 26th to see what McPhee ultimately decides to do. It's going to be amazing. But he's got McCrimmon and Von Karp, and that's the best thing McPhee did was who he surrounded himself with. And those guys will hopefully find some diamonds in the rough out there.
I hope so. Hey, Carpenter was a great addition to this point. It's been a lot of real exciting. They continue to seem to pull the right triggers. Hopefully they'll continue to do so. He is Brian Blessing. You can catch him all the time over on 1400 KSHP. If you like this game, I strongly suggest you catch him there. Brian, appreciate you, brother.
Oh, hey, my pleasure. And Missy, you know, stay tough, kid.
Oh,
these two guys will grow on you eventually.
Yeah, like a mole. Yeah, hey, listen, that's Brian Blessing. We're out of time. I just want to say, hey, I did win the NFL Challenge. Mags is the one buying me lunch. We'll talk about that another time. Uh-oh. He's still bitter about that one tie, because otherwise him and Dewey would be splitting it. I won 9 weeks in a row. We're out of time. It's Out of Line every Sunday morning right here from 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. This is the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights, who, by the way, play this afternoon against the Philadelphia Flyers, their first time back in T-Mobile in 2 weeks. Check it out. We'll be back next week for Magnum, for Missy. Want to appreciate Brian Blessing, Bernie Fratto, of course, Brandon McCoy, Shakur Justin. Appreciate y'all. We'll be back same time, same place right here next week.